Within the Gospel, we find that our Lord raising his dear friend Lazarus, he always reacts in a particular way in the face of death. We've mentioned this to you before. But see, that death is something that always causes a grave reaction in our Lord. Because he's not merely the Lord, but he's the Lord of life. And the Lord did not create death. And so every time he encounters it within the Gospels, and even when God the Father is faced with the death of his Son, there's always a word that is used that the very depths of his bowels are moved. He's perturbed, disturbed. He gets angry. Because he did not create such an affliction to affect the greatest of all his earthly creatures in man. And so he says to him, after dealing with the sisters in their grief, trying to rouse them to a faith in him, which all the more harms his heart, to see how this loss has even shaken their faith to some degree in him. He turns and says, "Where have you laid him?" And so they lead him to the place. It's the fate of the world that is at stake as death and the Lord stand face to face here in this encounter. What our Lord does, Jesus commands that stone should be rolled away from the place where it is fixed and held bound his friend. You heard it within the Gospel. Martha, the practical one among the sisters, reminds him, "Lord, it's already been 4 days. 4 long days have passed since the burial. He's going to stink. Don't do this." And our Lord turns to her and he says, "Daughter, I have not told you. Have I not told you that if I believe in you, you shall believe and you shall see the glory of God?" She replies to him, "Lord, I do believe, but I don't understand." And so it is Jesus that day alone who stands there face to face with death, with all that he is. He's the only one who is truly and of his own self really alive in that whole place. Everybody else is dead. He's the only one alive among mere mortals. And since, because of this, he's also the one who only really knows what death really means. And that he's the one who has to break the power of this evil, which is death. So our Lord does as he always does, but he does something for show. He turns to his Father and he praises him. He praises his Father for the unheard of power that he's about to manifest here within himself. And then the important thing happens. It says he cries out with a loud voice and says, "Lazarus, come forth." Consider this for a moment. Why does he cry out? Why does he use a loud voice? Think of the other times where he's raised others from the dead. Those who he's roused theirs from what he says, "Well, she's not dead, she's merely sleeping," as they mock him. Why does he do this? We heard of yesterday where at Nain, the widow of Nain, he didn't try so hard. It was just as easy as a touch. And the child was raised to life. Touch of the beer. It was beside the bedside of that little girl. He used a quiet word. And that was enough to bring her soul back. Why is it that our Lord today had to use a loud cry and a huge gesture? There's a reason. You might recall that there was another time where our Lord had let a mighty cry out of him in the face of death. We're moving toward that moment. That's at the moment of the cross. When he's there on the cross, there's somewhere between his last word and his own death. We see it in Luke 23. There, that loud cry. Both those cries issued from the depth of who our Lord is, from his sacred heart, from that same heart, that same calling. And they are one and the same act, one performed prior and the other performed in the midst of that great suffering. Just a few days, in fact, separate the two. And here is not only a miracle of a resuscitation of a man dead for 4 days, a dear friend of him, one who he loved greatly, that he brought back from death. But behind this visible event of raising to life, Deep in the last recesses of the spirit, there rages a battle. A battle that goes on silently. It's against the enemy of salvation. This is the one that our Lord warns about. And what he does for us here is he shows that he conquers death by conquering him who reigns in death. It is Satan. And so he raises up his voice in a loud, ardorous battle cry. He engages within the battle with his full force of his heart. And as he does not vanquish this by mere magic or some sort of show of force, not by a superior spiritual thrust that he makes here, but he does so simply by being what he is. That is, that he's invulnerable to the root, that he's life itself through and through. And his life himself, a life which is grounded in that perfect love of the Father, this is what our blessed Lord Jesus' true strength is. And so the cry that he let out, it was a surge of that vitality, a surge of that life issuing forth from him in all-powerful thrust of his love. We see him raise one dead. How many of us here are dead? Dead in our sins, dead in our wounds, dead often in our outlook toward life, dead in our sorrows, dead in the difficulties we face. And yet our Lord comes here. It often seems like he comes all too late, when death is already frozen over, when things are already buried and done. We say, what's the use? The wound is already in stench. There's no way of changing. It is in these places that our Lord wishes to bring not the power of a cry or some sort of show, but to bring his very self and to engage to do the hard work of the battle for us, to stir up his large, arduous, loud cry. If you desire our Lord to do the same thing for you, which he's done to Lazarus, you've come to the place where his life issues forth when he is raised on high. As our Lord says, when I am raised up, it is then I will draw all men to myself. Beg of him to fight the battle on your behalf. For what the Lord does in times past, he does still now, for the arm of the Lord has indeed not grown shorter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.